ana o keriso. O lea o te fiafia ai me vai vai ai, o le faaleanga mai, o maalaia, o leanga tele mai, o le atu atu vale ona o keriso, a wape a o vai vai, ona o maalosi ai lea. Shall I read from NIV? But he said to me, His grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. May God bless the scripture reading this morning.
We're grateful to have this morning as our speaker, Dr. Arika Puni. He was scheduled to be with us a few weeks ago, and there was an accident out on Interstate 15, and there was no moving for 4 or 5 hours. And so I told him this morning we were so happy that he was back with us. And he let me know that some time ago that when this church was in another location, that he had the privilege of being with us then. But we're glad, Dr. Puni, that you're with us. He is presently serving as the stewardship director of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. And so, Dr. Puni, may God bless you. We thank you for coming and joining us this Sabbath for this very high occasion.
It is certainly a delight to be part of this worship this morning for many good reasons. Over 15 years ago, I had the privilege of preaching at the old Fallbrook Church building. I think it's just down the hill, when I was a doctoral student at Fuller Theological Seminary. And then, of course, my last scheduled visit was September the 8th, and I spent the divine service hour on I-15 without any movement for a long time. And so I took it as an honor to be invited by Pastor Mta'afa to be here today for his ordination. And I just want to praise God for that. Let me, on behalf of the leadership of the General Conference, want to affirm your faith as a church in recent development in this part of the country. And I am talking specifically of the fires in California. I want you to know that as leadership of the church in the East Coast, we are praying for you. And we thank you for the spirit, as was expressed to me by leaders of the conference, to pull together at such a time as this. I want to remind you of the word of the Lord in Hebrews 11 and 12, that in this journey from this world to the other world, you and I can expect to face crises and trials of all sorts. But if I can inspire your hearts this morning by simply saying, as you look at the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 2, but it's in times like this that we need to focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I also need to affirm you for opening the facilities of this church to the community in support of the fire personnel as they serve in this part of Southern California. As a colleague in ministry of Pastor Mta'afa and his family, members present this morning, I want to express in a very special way to
Elder Jones and the Full Brook Church, our gratitude for your support of Pastor Mata'afa in his ministry. You are very much aware that Pastor Mata'afa comes from another part of the globe. He looks different. He speaks another language. English is his second language. But as the people of God, you have supported him and prayed with him and for him. And we salute you today because the affirmation by the church is also an affirmation for the part that you have played as mentor and friends, as a community of faith, and ensuring that his ministry to God's peoples in the plural anywhere will be a success. And we want to thank you for that. Let me invite you to the Word of God. I want you to turn with me to two passages of Scriptures in the New Testament. I want you to mark those two passages of Scripture because I will travel from one to the other as we focus on Pastor Mata'afa's calling to ministry today. Please turn your Bibles to the first chapter of Matthew in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. You may want to place a pen or a piece of paper or a Bible marker at this first passage. And then turn again to 1 Peter chapter 5 towards the back of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. So our two passages of Scriptures for this morning. First is the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 5. You've noted in the bulletin for today that the title for this special address to Pastor Mata'afa and the church is Called by Grace. I am looking towards the back of the sanctuary and I see that the clock tells me it's 10 after 12. I know that part of your value in Western society is a time. My value in my part of the world is people. And so when you're with people, time doesn't matter. Amen. So are you with me, church? Amen. I also know that courtesy of the congregation, lunch is provided, so nobody is rushing to go anywhere. We're going to celebrate the Sabbath and this ordination in a very special way. Called by grace. Ordination to pastoral ministry is not a graduation into Christian service. Rather, it is a special calling into a lifetime of a gospel ministry. It is not a graduation because, Pastor Mata'afa, it has nothing to do with your attendance at church board meetings. Nor does it have anything to do with your homiletics grades, courtesy of church members Sabbath morning when you're preaching. There's nothing to do with your personal abilities to mobilize your members in response to the needs of the community as you did this week. It has nothing to do with your sincerity in dealing with people problems. Nor it has anything to do with your commitment to home Bible studies and visitation as was expressed this morning. But I want to remind you and this congregation that ordination to pastoral ministry has everything to do from the start to finish about God's grace in your life. Amen. So allow me this morning to direct your attention for a few moments to an unusual passage of a scripture for an ordination service. On God's amazing grace. And that's our first passage of Scripture, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. I say unusual because Matthew, chapter 1, is the record of the genealogy of a Jesus Christ. And you may say, on the surface at least, well, what does this passage has to do with pastoral ministry? And I say everything to do with God's grace in ministry. So let me make three observations. And as a good student, Pastor Matai Fah, I know that you will take note of this observation of this unusual text. When you look at the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 1, you're given a record of 14 times three generations of the family of Jesus Christ. Am I right? But if you look closely at those names, I am going to submit to you that really, from a human perspective, none of those people should be qualified to be part of the family of Jesus Christ. What do you say? Because these were imperfect humans, but they were called to be the family of Jesus in spite of their checkered past and questionable characters. And we say this morning, why? And the answer is this. And this is where grace is written all over this chapter. Because of God's amazing grace. What do you say this morning, church? Amen. Their names are there. Not because they were perfect, whatever the definition of perfect that you're comfortable with. Not because of their performance as humans. But they are there because of the amazing grace of God, the unmerited goodness of a God in Christ. And so, Pastor Matafa, this morning and the congregation, you may then ask the question, so what? For Pastor Matafa today. Pastor Matafa, you have sacrificed and personally put yourself through seminary as a family. You've been tested through personal trials and experience in ministry. You've done your time in servicing the needs of God's people here at Fallbrook and elsewhere. And while all of these activities are important and good in themselves, your ordination today to God's gospel ministry, it's about God's grace and the church, both local and global. Recognize that in setting you aside today, recognizing that call that comes only to you through His grace. Think about it as you reflect on that biography of Matafa. Harry is a young man growing up in the islands of Upolu in Samoa. Harry is a young man so far away in another culture, could be found at this time of his life in Southeastern California Conference in the U.S. of A. at the Fallbrook Church. How could it all be possible except by the grace of a God?
Amen.
And so as I look to that passage which speaks specifically to the call to ministry, and this is my second passage, look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. By the grace of God, you have been called unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Calling to ministry has nothing to do with graduating from Andrews University with a Master of Divinity. Call to gospel ministry has nothing to do with your perseverance in spite of the many challenges of life. Call to ministry has to do with the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God. And we're here today to celebrate that call because of God's grace in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But mindful of your lunchtime, let me travel very quickly to the middle of the passage. Let me take you back to my first passage, Matthew chapter 1. Smack right in the middle of Matthew chapter 1 is verse 21. One that many of us are familiar with. The message which came to Joseph and to Mary from God. But you will call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Let me make two observations this morning. Pastor Matafa asked why I think this verse has everything to do with pastoral ministry. You see, personal salvation is by grace alone. While all persons whose names are listed in the genealogy of Jesus were broken vessels and faulty apparatus, each one of them knew that their salvation was absolutely based and made available to them through the merit and righteousness of Jesus Christ. What do you say?
Amen.
And that is also true of each one of us as God's people today. For the family of Jesus Christ, in this chapter of Matthew, their hope and inspiration in the future was a Jesus, Son of the Living God. What does this do? We've been called to pastor ministry in Southeastern California Conference today. Pastor Mutafa, I want to suggest to you, number one, that ministry at the end of the day is not about giftedness, though this element is very important, but rather it is connectedness to the person of Jesus Christ, your Savior. And pastoral ministry has to be an expression of His grace in your life 24/7. Number two, Pastor Mutafa. The reason why verse 21 is in the middle of this chapter is to remind you that basic to pastor ministry is that you will preach Jesus Christ from Sunday to Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday to Sabbath. Every week it has to be Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Redeemer, Lord of the universe, Advocate in the courts of heaven, Power to overcome, Jesus soon to be the King of kings. Your message, your preaching must be grounded in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. And so the second part of this presentation, beyond called by grace, is saved by grace. Because of Jesus. Let me take you very quickly, and this will be my last point, to the end of the chapter. Again, my first passage, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And this third part of the presentation is sustained by grace. So you were called by the grace of a God. But in your ministry, you are saved by His grace. And at all times, you will be sustained by grace. This text very often is used in today's world in the context of Christmas as an expression of God's presence with humankind. Matthew's record, however, is a reminder of Isaiah's prophecy of the full manifestation of the person of a God in His Son, Jesus. Today in this ordination service, I bring to you this text with the emphasis on the name Emmanuel, God with us, as a promise of God's everlasting presence with you and your wife and your family in ministry. Let me remind you, my friend and my brother in ministry, the reality of pastoral ministry is that you will experience trials, frustrations, tiredness, disappointments, tensions and conflicts of all sorts. But this is the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that's why if I take you to my second passage, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, elders... By the way, the use of the word elders in 1 Peter chapter 5 applies to you dedicated elders in the local congregation and those of us who are privileged to be paid elders of the church. Verse 1, elders are reminded that they will suffer as Jesus Himself suffered. But that's why when you look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, you are reminded that when you fail, that He is there to sustain you by His grace. Amen. Consequently, church, as you look to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, A promise that perhaps many of us have used in our home visitation or hospital visitation. Let me tell you, in the first instance, this promise has nothing to do with somebody sick or when we visit people in their homes, but it has everything to do with pastoral ministry. Listen to the promise, Pastor Matafa. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. 3 points for today. Called by grace, and indeed you are. Saved by grace, and yes, you are recipient of his grace. And you will preach about it every day. And from your walk from this point forward, rest assured that the same Jesus who said to the disciples, and lo, I am with you even to the end of the world, that same God, that same Jesus will sustain you in your service for him. And so in conclusion, for my second passage, 1 Peter chapter 5, let me offer you, my brother, to all of us who are already in pastoral ministry, some counsel and pointers from Peter himself, a pastor of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me give you 7 pointers from the Word of God. Give you some references as well. Number 1, Pastor Matafa, verse 2, feed God's people with the Word. Number 2, verse 2, leads God's people with hope. It's interesting, the metaphor of a shepherd in Palestine is that a shepherd walks up front, not from the back. Lived in New Zealand for many years where there are more sheep than people. A shepherd will come from behind with dogs, or a motorbike, or horses to bring in the flock. In the context of the New Testament, the shepherd always leads from the front. And I say to you, lead God's people with hope from the front. Verse 2. Number 3, verse 2 again, nurture God's people with love and a grace. The church is nobody's family. The church is nobody's business. The church is God's family and God's community. And we must minister to people with love and a grace. Number 4, from verse 2 still, serve all people willingly. Not because it's your obligation and duty as a pastor, but you will do it from the heart, as was expressed by elders of this church this morning. You must serve all people willingly, knowing that each person represents Christ himself. Number 5, verse 3. Be an example of Jesus, the chief shepherd. In all that you do, when you talk, when you walk, when you preach, when you minister to people, you are a representative of a Jesus Christ. Number 6, verse 3, live humility and respect those older than you. This is more than just a value from our culture, but this is part of what pastoral ministry is about. To demonstrate humility in all that you do, and to give respect to leaders of the church. Verse 6. Finally, number 7. Be temperate and balanced in all things. Verse 8. And today, as we have come together as your family, your spiritual family, the church, and leaders of the church, recognizing that you have been called by God's grace, we also believe that same God will continue to sustain you until the day of his return, when he will be able to say to you and your family, faithful servant, enter now into the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
The church is the family of God, the body of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. All baptized people are called to make Christ their Lord and Savior, and to share in the renewing of this world. Now you are called to work as a minister. As a minister, it is your task to proclaim by word and deed the gospel of Jesus and to fashion your life according to its precepts. You are to love and serve the people among whom you work, caring alike for old and young, strong and weak, rich and poor. You are to preach, to declare God's forgiveness, to pronounce God's blessing, to share in the administration of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and to perform the other responsibilities entrusted to you. In all that you do, you are to nourish Christ's people from the riches of his grace and strengthen them to glorify God in this life for the life to come. Ulisesi, do you believe that you are truly called by God and his church to serve as a minister of the gospel?
Yes, I believe I surely called.
Do you, in the presence of the church, commit yourself to this trust and responsibility?
Yes, I do.
Will you be diligent in reading scripture and seeking knowledge of those things as to make you a stronger minister for Christ?
Yes, I will.
Will you endeavor to minister the word of God so that the reconciling love of Christ may be known and received?
Yes, I will.
Will you do your best to pattern your life in accordance with the teaching of Christ so that you may be a good example to your people?
Yes, I will.
Will you persevere in prayer for yourselves and for others?
Yes, I will.
May the Lord, who has given you the will to do these things, give you the grace and the power to perform them.
Amen.
Just before we pray for Pastor Matafa, many of you know that Dan and Karen Houghton would have loved to have been here for this occasion. But Karen's dad is gravely ill, and so they're at his bedside. But Dan sent a letter, Ulisesi, that he wanted me to read to you and have the congregation hear. And it reads, "I'm very disappointed that I'm not able to be present for your ordination service today. Circumstances beyond my control have prevented my participation and the opportunity to present you for ordination. However, I want to express my deep appreciation, admiration, and affection for you. As a key part of the pastoral team at Fallbrook, you have shown us the love of Jesus in so many ways. And the events of this past week, coming through the fires with flying colors, are continuing evidence of your steady spiritual leadership. There's no doubt in my mind that the Spirit of God is in you. It gives me great joy to know that you have reached the major milestone of ordination into the gospel ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Together with our conference leadership, Pastor Jones and elders and members of the Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church, I salute you, and may you experience God's richest blessings on this special high Sabbath. In love of Jesus, Dan Houghton." Thank Dan for that. He sent his love to you, Ulisesi. We're going to pray. There'll be three of us that will have the prayer of consecration. I'll pray first, and then Phil Jones will follow my prayer, and then Dr. Pooney will conclude the prayer. And during that prayer time, for us as ministers, as Pastor Matafa is in the center of us, he will mention laying on of hands. And so we will lay hands on his head. Those of us who are somewhat away from him, just touch one another so that we can all agree and join our hearts together in this prayer. And I think it would be appropriate, Eunice, if you would come. I'm trying to see where you are. Where are you? Are you in front of me? Oh, there you are. Okay. And Ernie, I didn't ask you. Would it be appropriate if she kneeled beside him doing that? And we can still circle them. It might be good if we could step down off the platform. That way everyone could see and be a part of this. So let's join around Ulusese and Eunice in prayer. And then we would like to afterwards, Gerald Pinnock is going to give our charge, and then Sandy, and then the credentials, and then Sandy Roberts will give our welcome to ministry. And we want to make sure, family members, if you're nearby and you want to view this, please, you can move from your seat. If you would like to take pictures, if you want to see a little closer, please come and join. You're more than welcome to come a little closer if you want to view this as we pray for Pastor Maroff. Let's join our hearts together. Dear God, only you know how many times over the years people have turned from your call on their lives. But this morning, here is one with his family, and they have set their destiny in your hands. Lord, we can't imagine a more challenging time to say yes than today. And there will be times when Ulusese will think this moment was not such a good idea. Or what was I thinking? But when these times come, let him remember that with this leadership comes a cross. So give him courage. Give him the power of the Holy Spirit, so that your name will be glorified and people will be encouraged by his ministry. And finally, when the work is all through, and it will be one day, give to this family the assurance of what we all long for, that crown of life. And so we ask this, in Jesus' name, amen.
Eternal God and Father, I continue this prayer of my brother Gerald Jones. And Lord, it is you who called in Acts chapter 13, 2 and 3. You are the one who called a person to ministry. And that day it was Barnabas and Paul. Today it's Ulusese.
Yes.
And those of us who have had the privilege of working with him have seen his great hunger to fulfill the gospel commission, to make disciples,
yes,
to baptize and to, yes, teach them the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And Lord, we just we recognize that infilling of the Spirit in his life. And we wish to honor that.
Yes.
We know, Lord, that when God is for us, nothing can be against us. No one can be against us. So whatever trial he may face, we thank you that you are already there to prepare the way through.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to the soon coming in your kingdom when the Ulusese, Eunice, and all of their children will be gathered by their sides, looking up, say, "Lo, this is our God. He will save us."
Yeah.
And that many who have come through his ministry,
yes,
will be gathered there with him to go up into your clouds. In Jesus' lovely name we pray.
And so as we place our hands on Ulusese Motafa, we are saying, Lord Jesus, that his life from this day forward is set aside for your purposes. And we ask that you would travel with him everywhere he goes, that you will be his source of comfort and power when tested and tried, that you would become the fortress where he will find shelter in times where each one of us needs rest in you. And so, O God, as your people, leaders of your church, this community of faith, in this prayer, the laying of hands, we say, Lord Jesus, accept him, accept his life, accept his gifts, accept his family, and use it for your service. And may you shower him with your grace, your abundant grace, made available to him and us every day. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all the people will say, Amen. Amen.
Elder Motafa, we are so happy to bring the charge to you at this time. God has blessed your ministry in so many ways. As the two of you have worked together, as husband and wife, ministering to the people, they have seen the blessings of God through you. Your hard work, the difference that you want to make in people's lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, I charge you today to minister as a servant. And by ministering as a servant, I mean ministering as Jesus would minister. As a matter of fact, the more times you spend with Jesus, the more like Jesus you will become. And so I say, to minister as a servant, you must spend time with Jesus. Spend time in his word. Allow that word to permeate your heart. Yes. That when people see you, they see the love of Jesus within you. As the word says, draw near to him. Because if you do, you will find that he will indeed draw near to you as you serve the people. I can tell you that in my own experience, I have learned that God does just that. He will never let you down when you ask for his strength. He will never let you down when you ask for his guidance and presence. No matter what, he will be with you through your entire Passover experience that you face. So deepen your love relationship as a servant with God. Spend time alone with him each day. Your ministry must be an outgrowth of your walk with God. So on this important day, commit to lead your people, not from the pulpit, but on your knees. Amen. I charge you also to minister as a shepherd and a watchman. Being the under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are the keeper of the flock. The tenderness and the compassion and the caring that he would exhibit is now your privilege to exhibit. I charge you as a minister to be a watchman also. A watchman does in fact keep watch, just as a shepherd. And by the grace of God and the inspiration of his Holy Spirit, dangers will be pointed out to you that you can lead the sacred flock around. God will accompany you in that ministry of being a shepherd and also being a watchman of the flock. As 1 Peter 5:2-4 states, be shepherd of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing. As God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Because you've been a watchman, and you've been a servant, and you have been a shepherd. I charge you to minister also as a teacher. Maybe one of your greatest responsibilities will be to teach and prepare the flock to do the work of the area of soul saving. As an evangelist, as a preacher, but also as a teacher. Sharing the love of Jesus wherever they are. That, of course, also brings a lot of joy to the heart, because you will see tremendous results as you do that work of teaching. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of the truth. Take seriously the messages that you deliver, and bathe those messages in Scripture. Feed your people, and feed your people well. The poet summarizes this in this way: we bid thee welcome, and we charge you in the name of Jesus, our exalted Lord, come as a servant. So he came, and receive thee in his stead. Come as a shepherd, and guard and keep his fold from that which should be hell and earth and sin. Nourish the lambs and feed the sheep. The wounded heal. The lost bring in. Come as a watchman. Take thy stand on the tower amidst the sky. And when the sword comes on the land, or the fire ravages it, call us to fight and warn and to fly as God is with us. Amen. Come as a teacher sent from God, charged his whole council to declare, lift o'er our ranks the prophet's rod while we uphold thy hands in prayer. Last but not least, love the people. Amen. As a pastor, you will have unique responsibilities and opportunities. Opportunities that no one else has to love and care as a leader. This is one of the most wonderful aspects of this work, because pastors are able to share their love by walking with the people through the best times of life, yes, and also the difficult times of life. You'll stand with them at the marriage altar, and that will be a joy as God brings two people together. You'll come to the hospital, and you'll welcome them with their new children, their babes, into the world. And what a joy that will be. When they grow old enough, you'll tell the children how to become Christians and follow Christ to the fullest. And then you will stand with them in the baptismal pool as you see them baptized, giving their hearts to Jesus Christ. You also will care for people in times of crisis, the difficult times of life. You'll stand at their hospital beds when they are sick, and finally, even at their graves. In fact, the joy of ministry is in the relationship you will have with your members as pastor and fellow servant, making a difference in their lives along the way. And as you look at yourself as one who loves people, one who's a shepherd, one who's a servant, and one who's a teacher, may you, when the work is ended, say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. I charge you, my brother and fellow pastor, with this awesome ministry, and my counsel to you, while you serve, never, never lose the joy in serving. Amen. May God bless you and keep you, my prayer.
Pastor Matoff, on behalf of Southeastern California Conference and your World Church of Seventh-day Adventists, Elder Pennick and I have a privilege today of giving you a few documents. One is your Certificate of Ordination and Commissioning, and this is what it says. To all who read these words, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be it known that Ulisesi Mata'afa, having given satisfactory evidence of his call to and having accepted the sacred work of the gospel ministry, was ordained commissioned by the Southeastern California Conference of Seventh-day Adventists on October 27, 2007 at the Fallbrook, California Seventh-day Adventist Church. In witness of the same, we have signed our names, and it's signed. I've signed it on behalf of the conference as your executive secretary. Elder Pennick has signed it, and our pastors participating in the service today. Give that to him.
May God bless you and keep you, and may His strength be your strength today.
We also have for you your ministerial credential. And this is issued, again, on behalf of Southeastern California Conference and your World Church. And it says this is to certify that Ulisesi Mata'afa is an ordained commissioned minister in regular standing in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and is authorized to perform the duties of said office for the remainder of this quadrennium. You'll get a new one in a year. And it is signed by your conference officers.
Pastor Alan Mata'afa, I want you to say this right now. This card is more important than any card you ever will carry. More important than American Express. The only thing that comes close to it is your marriage license. It says that you are ordained commissioned minister of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Southeastern California and the World Church. May God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
With those documents in hand, Pastor, it is my privilege today, on behalf of your colleagues in ministry, on behalf of those of us from the conference office, to welcome you and your wife into ministry. It always seems ironic that we do this, because in fact you have been ministering for a very long time. But what we've done today, as has been expressed, is recognized God's calling on your life,
Amen.
The way the Spirit has been at work in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a joy as a church to do that today. So we welcome you to what God will continue to do in your life as He works in you, through you, around you in ministry.
Yes.
And I want you to know as well that for us at the office, as your officers and colleagues, we're here to support you
Amen.
In every way we can
Amen.
To make sure that you have everything you need to successfully minister. We also want you to know that your colleagues in ministry are here as companions and journeyers along the way, always inviting you, first of all, as has already been mentioned, to be sure that you are a man of God before you do the work of God. That is always what we will encourage you to do. Take time in the presence of God. Take time with your family. Make those your priorities as you minister to God's people. But welcome to what God has ahead of you, the adventure of ministering with Him. And we have one more thing we'd like to give you today to commemorate this day. It is a Bible. As you continue to speak and proclaim God's Word, we have a Bible with your name engraved on it for you to remember this day by. And we'd like to give that to you. And we also have one for your wife. We know that as you are a companion in the home, a companion in ministry, and you also encourage God's people, may you find this Bible today something to commemorate this moment with as you continue to be a woman of God standing beside your husband.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, welcome. We love you and thank you for letting us celebrate this day with you.
Mr. President and the fellow administrators of the conference and also the stewardship director of the General Conference. It's an honor, it's a privilege, it's a humble experience for me to stand before these congregations and receive the laying of hands. As I come close to these occasions, I search my heart. I was afraid. I was nervous. I was scared. I thought to myself, am I worthy of this calling? But thanks for the grace that was shared with us this Sabbath. By His grace, I can do in spite of my imperfections. Thank you so much. I will take this call as an humble experience, just like David, as he was longing for water from Jerusalem. He said, if anybody will give me a cup of water. And his mighty man went out and got the water for him and gave it to him. And he said, this water was brought out the risk of the life of these people. How could I drink the water? I give it to the Lord. Administrators, I were like, how could I take advantage of the calling in the ministry? I shall give it to the Lord. And with your prayer, with your support, I solicit to help us. May God, His grace to shine upon us. And thank you for my dear wife that stand by me. Thank you so much.
Unity, on behalf of our church and the conference, I'd love to present these flowers to you. And I also want to say to you that ministry is definitely a challenge, but also a blessing. I think that you need to know that you are a gift from God to your husband. You're going to be his oasis in the desert. You're going to be his rainbow at the end of a storm. You're going to be his rose among thorns. But know that he is called of God. And there's going to be many challenges that he's going to experience. You're going to wonder in terms of things that he comes home and shares with you. But you're going to get through it no matter where you are, because you know without a shadow of a doubt that he's called of God. And as a result of that journey that you're taking together, God's going to give you the grace and the strength to always, and I want to stress that, always be by his side, his encourager and his support. May God bless you.
We do have some additional certificates, and if you would like to sign it as a witness to this occasion, I'll be over by the piano, and you can come up and do that at that time.
Okay. Bryn, what are we going to sing? I told my wife to go over there and pick a song. The doxology. Okay, the doxology, Bryn. And Chaplain Mike Chester, who is a good friend, a chaplain at MCAS Miramar, is going to have our benediction for us. So, Mike, thanks for being here with us.
May God from whom all blessings flow.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, great God Almighty, now we beseech in prayer at this precious time, this spiritual dedication, this hour of ordination of Elder Matafa, grant that he be all that he can be with the armor of God over him, his family, and his children as he proceeds to minister. A pastor to the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the hope of resurrection. Yes. a chaplain, a veteran minister to gallant soldiers, a spiritual leader to the command and the commander. And in that tradition, Father, of the sailor and soldier's prayer, we now ask that you be with him. Give him thanks in the valley of the shadow of death, for he will fear no evil. Father, now we give thanks for this Sabbath and this week, for your mighty power has shown your miracle manifested here and given grace to save from the fiery tempest. Bless now the congregation, meet their spiritual and physical needs until that great day where we all come together in your kingdom. In your almighty name, whose command loves and commands all. Amen.
We'd like for you to stay by as we eat together. You'll notice tables on the outside. Feel free to join us and get an opportunity to greet Pastor Matafa. And they want me to say the blessing now so that we'll be ready to eat. Wise congregation, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the food that has been prepared and for the hard work of the members preparing it under somewhat difficult conditions. We ask that we might gain strength from the eating of the food and fellowship one with the other and enjoy each other's company. And we'll be careful to praise your name because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to, family, if you would go out, we want to make sure. Pastor, come. They're going to take pictures, so would you just, you can proceed out to the area where the food is prepared.
Stand motion, sir.